As followers of Jesus, see, we often forget our mission. You know, we often forget what the Lord has entrusted to us. Now, think about that for a moment. As followers of Jesus, a lot of times if people were to ask you, what is the mission of the church? Everyone will have an opinion about what the mission of the church is. And there are so many passages in the Bible that truly highlight the mission that Jesus has given to each and every one of his followers. And that includes you and I. Why are we here for? As we wait for the return of Jesus, what has God given to you and I that he expects us to do while we wait for his return? You see, it was after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and you know, remember, they were hiding when he died, and you know, they thought it was game over, you know. And finally, on the first day of the week, Jesus reappeared. He's resurrected, and that brought such a great joy to the apostles. And it's interesting because according to the Gospel of Matthew, we have Jesus' final words. You know how it is sometimes, like when somebody said, "This is my final word to you." So it's almost like, pay attention, because this is the last thing that I'm going to say to you. So according to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' final words to the disciples highlights what we know our mission on earth. If you have your Bibles, perhaps you have in that portion of Scripture, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it might be a title called The Great Commission. And you wonder, what is the Great Commission about? So Matthew 28, 16 through 20. So all the other apostles and all the other writers like Luke, John, and Mark, they also have Jesus' final words. And when you compare them, it's also a mission. Jesus is commissioning his disciples. Jesus is giving his disciples or followers a task to accomplish. So if you got your Bibles with you, let me just show you. Go with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The last chapter in the book of Matthew. And I want to read just four verses, verses 16 through 20. This is one of those passages that I think every Christian should know. Like if somebody were to ask you on a Bible trivia question, where's the Great Commission at? Everyone should just, Matthew 28, as you know. So in case you don't know, so I might test you next week. So Matthew 28, beginning in verse 16. Remember, this is after the resurrection. And then he says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The disciples, says the 11 disciples, remember 11 because Judas is no longer with them, they saw the risen Christ. And when they saw him, I love it because it said they worshipped him. And even though some of them still doubted. Remember, Thomas was, you remember the story in Gospel of John, Thomas was a doubter. So some of them still doubted Jesus. The word there is that they could not believe that he was alive. It's like, you know, when something happens, like, I cannot believe it just happened. He's alive. And they worshiped Jesus. And so, and then Jesus now said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Let me translate that for you. Jesus is saying to them, "I am in charge." All authority, and that, I mean, that encompasses a lot. Heaven and earth has been given to me, he said. You see, the apostles and every follower of Jesus have been authorized by Jesus himself to accomplish his mission. All authority belongs to Jesus. This is what Paul talks about in Romans 14:9. He said, "For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living." All authority is Jesus's. And the name, also Paul in Philippians 2:10 through 11, he talks about that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth, And even under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus said to the disciples, all authority has been given to me. I'm in charge. All authority. Right after the resurrection, Paul says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus commissioned, or we can say he authorized or commanded his disciples to a mission. Notice he said, all authorities have been given to me. Therefore, because of all the authority that I have, go and make disciples of all nations, he said. Jesus' final saying, Jesus' final words to his apostles, to his disciples. So you want to know what the mission, your mission is, the mission of the church is? Why the church exists? To make disciples. Why does the church exist? To multiply itself, to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus. And the church, and you as a follower of Jesus, you also being authorized. You've been given the authority, the power by Jesus himself, because he says, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Now, that word, go and make disciples, if you were to look it up more in the original language, in the Greek, the sense here is, as you go, make disciples. You know, as you go, where life takes you, where you happen to be, make disciples. I love it because there was a book by Francis Chan entitled Multiply, and it's all about discipleship. I mean, what he says is, your job, as we live on earth, representing Jesus, our job is to multiply ourselves, that if I'm a disciple, I make another disciple who make disciples, who make disciples. So you see, this is like a ripple effect. You're a disciple, now you multiply yourself. Mom and dad, you multiply yourself, you have kids. So it's almost like now they become your offspring. So it's like that's the connection right here about discipleship. Now you disciple them, and then tomorrow they disciple some other people. And pretty soon the whole earth will be filled with disciples or followers of Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go. As you go, make disciples of all nations. Multiply yourself. Where life takes you, as a follower of Jesus, make disciples. Where life takes you, as a follower of Jesus, help other people become followers of Jesus. Where life takes you, or where you happen to be, guide, help other people to develop a relationship with Jesus. Now you want to know what your mission is? That is. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus' final words according to the Gospel of Matthew, and that mission, my friends, have not changed. This is why we're here. This is why we do what we do, so that we can also multiply ourselves and make other disciples. Now, I've been talking about disciples, and I better define that word. What is a disciple? Because, you know, sometimes like a disciple, my dear would call it a discipline. No, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower. A disciple is somebody who's learning. A disciple can be a student. In fact, the word there, the Greeks had disciples, they call them peripateo, which means walking learner. Because, you know, Jesus would travel and then they had a whole bunch of people with him. Those were disciples, following their teacher. So a disciple is somebody who's learning. Now, the dictionary, Merriam-Webster, he says, a disciple is one who accepts and assists in spreading the doctrines of another. A disciple is a learner, a student, a pupil, a follower. As you go, make students, make disciples, make people learners of the gospel of Jesus. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, therefore make disciples of whom? Here's another thing for you and I. We've been authorized by Jesus to make disciples, and the mission that we have is also global. He says, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all people groups. Make disciples of all nationalities. You see, my friend, Jesus' mission, the mission that you and I have, breaks the wall of prejudice and racism. You see, a true disciple of Jesus breaks cultural and racial barriers. For the mission of Christ transcends culture, race, languages. That's why I have a problem when there are Christians that still struggle with racism, Because how can you be a Christian and be a racist? According to Jesus, doesn't make sense. Because his mission transcends languages, races. In fact, the word nations, by the way, is the word ethnos, where you get the word ethnicity. Make disciples of all ethnicity. So you see, in Christ's agenda, every life matters. He says, as you go, so you see the mission that he's giving his apostles, the mission that he's giving. Now, mind you, he's talking to Jewish people. Imagine how that sounded in their ears. It was like, he wants the Samaritans too? And the Phoenicians? You know, that was not going to be very well taken by the apostles, the Jewish people. And Jesus said, as you go, make disciples of all nations, every nationality, every people group, as you go. Like I said, this mission breaks the walls of prejudice and racism. All nations include people from all over the world, all walks of life. Like I said, it's ethnicity. God is calling people from every ethnicity to become his disciple, to become his followers. And he's using you and I to go get him. As you go, make disciples. Where life takes you, you know, many of us might be traveling all over the place. Many of you have traveled from different countries. Where you find yourself as a follower of Jesus, Jesus himself is saying, make disciples where you are. You might be at work. Do it there. You might be on a bus, on an airplane. Where life takes you, you are representing Jesus, and he said, multiply yourself there. Make disciples of all nations. And you see the apostles in the book of Acts. That's exactly what they did. You know, they didn't come and say, like, okay, guys, let's have a plan. Let's see how we start making, you know, develop classes and things. No. Where they went and they talked to people, and through their talk, through their conversation, they were able to present the gospel to people. Because as you go, make disciples of all nations. Whoever it is that you come in contact with, Jesus wants that person to become one of his followers. God is calling people from all ethnic groups. In God's central plan, everyone matters. He wants every person to become a learner, a disciple of his. You see, God gave his son, Jesus, to save everyone. Remember the text that Ellie used, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever, notice that, whoever believes in him will not perish, because the overarching plan of God is to reach all people, everyone, with the message of the gospel, because everyone matters to him. God does not want anyone to be condemned, but he wants all to come to him. That's why he's sending you and I as his representatives to reach out others. As you go, where life takes you, make disciples of all nations. As where you go, multiply yourself. You, what does that mean? You're already a disciple, so maybe your friend, your family can join you. You're multiplying yourself. You're developing disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I love it because you see that whole idea of making disciples, when you look at the book of Revelation, apparently the mission is fulfilled. That's a spoiler alert kind of thing. You read the book of Revelation, you see that a whole bunch of disciples were already made. Because you have that picture in chapter 7, verse 9, that there were people from every nation, tongue, and language in the throne of God in heaven. That's what I don't get it. If we cannot get along ourselves, regardless of where we come from, we need to learn to get along here, because in heaven, there's not going to be a room there for the Hispanic, one for the Italians, one for the Filipinos. No, in heaven, we're all going to be together. Amen. And we better start learning that right here. So I don't get it when we have all Hispanic churches, all black churches, all white. Like, what is this? That doesn't reflect heaven. Heaven, you have people from all tongue, tribe, and nation singing before the Lamb. And so I love, because I look at all of us and we're so different. And in spite of us being different, and you know, we all can come together because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Because the mission of God is he wants disciples of all nations, black, white, yeah, I mean, whoever, all of them, all the colors. He wants all of them to be part of his kingdom. And you see that vision of Revelation. John sees him, and I saw a great multitude, he said, that no one could count before the throne, from every tongue, tribe, and nation. When I read that, you know what comes to my mind? The mission was accomplished. Wouldn't that be awesome that you also help bring those people to Christ? At the end of the day, like, wow, you know, because you touch somebody in your own denomination, in your work, you touch somebody with the message of Jesus, and now they're in heaven because of you. And they're going to be part of that huge multitude in heaven. Every nation, every tribes and people and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, that's Jesus, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. This is like the sound of victory in heaven. The mission is global. And yes, yes, starts where you are. That's what he told the disciples in Acts. He says, you will receive power to be my witnesses, to represent me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Even in Acts 1, verse 8, the mission continues to be global, which means universal. You've been authorized and empowered by God Himself to accomplish this global mission. You say, it's a global mission. He wants people all over the world, but we're in Staten Island. You had no idea what influence you can have on people. I'm pretty sure you're in touch with people all over the world. You know, we might have a friend from Africa watching us right now, and he attends our Bible study sometimes. It's like, we touch him, he touched some other people in Africa, and you're already part of that. It's like disciples making disciples. You see, like, never underestimate. Wherever you are, whatever influence you are doing, even at work, that's all it takes for God to develop a disciple. And then he goes somewhere else, and now he makes disciples. But you become like the grandfather of that disciple. Because he can, amazing. So, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus said. Therefore, go as you go, make disciples of all nations, global. The mission is universal. How? How do we do that, Jesus? And then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the triunity of God and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. How do we make disciples, Jesus? He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of God Himself. Now, you might ask the question, why baptism? I'm glad you asked. Because, you know, a lot of times people, you know, even we have churches that, you know, Jesus, I always go back to this text right here. We have churches that tell you, well, you don't really need baptism. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you do if you want to. I don't know about that, you know. Because if I go back to the text, Jesus first started saying, all authorities has been given to me. I'm in charge. Therefore, go make disciples. How? Baptizing them. Why baptism? Because first of all, Jesus commanded it. It's a command. The task has been appointed to the followers. Jesus said, go and make disciples on my authority. How? Baptizing them. Why baptism? Because every disciple in the Bible, every follower that you find in the Bible was baptized. I always challenge people, find me somebody who was following somebody else that wasn't baptized. In other words, find me somebody who followed Jesus who was never baptized. John the Baptist, before Jesus came, baptized his followers. The Pharisees, by the way, baptized their followers. And you were baptized, because that's what showed the world that you were truly committed to following that leader. So baptism was that. It's a sign that showed people that you were truly serious about following that master and the one you have entrusted. So baptism is truly a public declaration that you have accepted Jesus and are turning back from the old self, from the old life of sin, and now you trust in Jesus to live a new life. The word baptism literally means dip into water, immerse. You know, like sometimes people were like sprinkling people with water. That's not the word baptism. Baptism is like when they dunk you in water. That's like, you know, dip in water, like cover. That's what the whole idea of baptism is in the Greek. So, and remember, Jesus, when he was 30, he came to the Jordan River and John the Baptist baptized him in the river, you know. And they baptized, in Jerusalem, they had wells that people, you know, can go in there. The water, you were getting there, the water was to your waist, and then they immerse you in water. That's another word, immersion. So every believer in Jesus was baptized, immersed in water, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, why baptism? Because the apostles preach repentance and baptism. For Peter's first sermon, Acts 2. You know, when he was done presenting Jesus as Lord, at one time people felt so convicted and they said, Lord, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, chapter 2:38, repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and God will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and for your children and for everyone else who's far away, whom the Lord God will call. The apostles took to heart, they took seriously what Jesus already said, go and make disciples, baptizing them. Whom do they baptize? Whoever believed in Jesus was immersed in water. And we see that Acts 2:41 says, those who believed Peter's message were baptized and then added to their number. They were added to the church. That's how the church was birthed. That's how the church started in the book of Acts. That's how people became disciples of Jesus. Those who believed the message were baptized. See, why baptism? Because baptism is also a symbol of our union with Christ. That's the picture that Paul paints in Romans 6:3-4. He said to the Romans, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You notice that? Baptism symbolizes Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, that is the gospel reenacted. Jesus was buried into the ground, and then he resurrected. You are buried into the water, and then you come back to live a new life. That's what the Bible calls a new birth, a new creation. If anybody is in Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has begun. Jesus talking to Nicodemus in John Chapter 3, he said, you got to be born again. How? Jesus said, you got to be born of the water and the Spirit. And there's baptism right there. Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I love it because you see in Acts, everyone who believed was baptized. And you know, why am I saying that over here? Because there are a lot of people in churches today. Maybe you might be here and you have not been baptized yet. My question to you is, what are you waiting for? And we have this thing ready here. Just let me know. Don't wait too long. Because by you not wanting to be baptized yet, you're still not fulfilling, you're still not neglecting Jesus' command. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. If you want to be a disciple, you got to be united with Christ, because baptism symbolizes your union, that you're serious about following Jesus. Paul did not get to walk with Jesus, but Jesus appointed him. He had an encounter with the risen Christ. And later on, he wrote so many of our books in the New Testament. And one of those books is the book of Galatians. And even there, Paul highlights baptism. Galatians 3:26, Paul said this: you are all children of God. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Watch this. For all of us who have been baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. Other translation would say, all of you who have been baptized with Christ have put on Christ. What's the imagery here? That without Christ, you are spiritually naked. So you notice, like, when you are baptized, you are clothed with Christ now. Like, you put on Christ. I love that. It's like, by faith in Jesus. So, and you know, there are people still want to ask, why baptism? Jesus commanded it. The apostles follow it. Every disciple in the Bible. You don't find one disciple in the Bible, one follower. I would tell people, I challenge them with that. Find me one that was not baptized. And then I don't tell people they don't need to do it. I tell people you don't need to do it. If you find me one, because every disciple in the Bible, every believer in the Bible was baptized into Jesus. Just say, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what we do when somebody said they profess faith in Jesus. We baptize them because Jesus commanded us to do that. Just say, baptizing them and teaching them to observe, to obey everything I have commanded you. So, Jesus commanded his disciples to teach others everything that he has commanded. Now, notice, Jesus did not say, teach him some things. He said, everything. So, you are to teach the whole counsel of God. You know, there are people that they're twisting the Bible. It's almost like, we're going to sugarcoat certain things because they might be a little offensive to some people. And Jesus said, no, you got to teach him everything. Not just like picking and choosing, like teach him everything I have commanded you. and I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. As followers of Jesus, my friends, if we're not learning his teaching, if we don't even know what Jesus taught, think about that for a moment. How would you teach somebody then? If I don't even know what Jesus said, how am I going to teach other people Jesus' teaching if I don't know it myself? I mean, he says teaching them to obey. And you know, remember, Jesus spent 3 years with the apostles, and they learned a lot about Jesus. And when they wrote to other people, you know, they didn't, every time they went with Jesus, they didn't have a notebook like or a tablet taking notes with Jesus. It was all right here. And now they can write letters and say, like, you know, because they learned the teachings of Jesus, and now they're passing that teaching along to other people. Because disciples, you cannot have a disciple. Disciples are a student, it's a learner. So what is it that we need to learn about Jesus? He said, everything I have commanded you. And not just about Jesus, but the whole Word of God, both Old Testament and New Testament. Because disciples are learners, students of Jesus, who pass along Jesus' information to other people. Jesus is teaching. Our job is to pass that along to other people. You know how many Christians, they profess to be Christians, they still do not know what Jesus taught? Remember, there used to be on the radio, 99.1, there used to be that was like 7 years ago. Remember, there used to be a thing called Bible or not? And people like, is that in the Bible? God helps those who help themselves? People were like, oh yeah, I think it is. No, it ain't. That was Benjamin Franklin who says, God help those who help themselves. But a lot of people, because it says God, it's like, but if you don't know the Bible, you might think it is. It sounds good, but it's not in the scripture. And so many people, you see, that they have no idea. And you see, that's why we are so divided in terms of, like, people that profess to be Christians. And like Francis Chan says it this way. There are people who truly believe in their hearts that they are followers of Jesus, but their lives look nothing like his. They believe in their hearts they are followers of Jesus, but their lives do not reflect the teachings of Jesus. Do not reflect Jesus' attributes. I mean, Jesus was about love and serving. I mean, you're a follower of Christ. You at least had to reflect the one you're following. By the way, you know the disciples that we're talking about? They were given the name Christians. You know why? It was actually a nickname given by secular to them. Because all about them, their message, their life, was all about this Jesus thing. It's almost like they were Jesus freaks. And Jesus, it's all about Christ. And they were given the name Christianos, Christians. The disciples were called Christians for the first time in a town called Antioch, modern day Turkey today, Acts 11:26. The disciples, the followers, the students of Jesus were given the name Christians. Why? Because all about them was about Christ. A Christian is somebody who is in Christ. All about you, your thoughts should be reflecting Jesus, your actions. Everything about us should reflect the one we follow. I mean, why would you follow him and then, I don't want to do what you're saying. But you remember when Jesus said, why do you call me Lord and Lord and you do not do what I'm saying? Remember that? It's like, if you call me Lord, then at least you follow it, you know. And you know, in martial arts, you have the sensei, but everybody will follow what he says if you want to learn the discipline. So you don't want to follow him, but then go find another teacher. So Jesus said to teach him everything. You see, my friends, we have that duty that we, in order for us to make disciples, we need to learn what Jesus has taught. And but what a better way? I mean, we have this manual that he has left us, so we learn the teachings of Jesus and the teachings of the Old Testament and God's plan of salvation. I always call the Bible a GPS for life. You know, so you don't get lost. You know, so you know what to do when bad situations, bad things happen to you. Everything is in here. Teaching them to observe, to obey everything I have commanded you. I love it. The first disciples, the first century disciples, they were so committed or devoted to Jesus' teaching. When the church was established in Acts 2:42, it says that they, the church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Even there, the disciples, people were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Where did the apostles get their teaching from? Jesus himself. Because there were disciples who were making disciples, who were making disciples. And pretty soon everything started in Jerusalem and began to reach Judea, Samaria. And today, 2,000 years later, we're talking about the same thing in Staten Island, New York. Disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. The first Christians were so devoted to the teachings of the apostles. Remember Paul writing to Timothy also, saying like, save yourself, he says, in the doctrine. Like, keep watch over the doctrine. Keep watch over your teaching and your life, he told Timothy. Like I said, so many Christians do not attempt today to learn the Word of God. We need to know what he says, so we can make disciples. Disciples that truly understand Jesus and what he is calling them to do. You see, when we don't know the Word of God, we don't truly know what we believe. Like I said, there are people that do not know what they believe or why they believe. Because if you don't know the Word of God yourself, my question always remains is, how can I teach it to other people if I don't even know it? You see, when I went to college, that's one of the things that when I began to take Bible classes, I always had that passion, and it hasn't changed yet. It becomes stronger. That I always say, like, what I learned about Jesus, I want to pass that along to other people. Like, I want other people to know it too. You know, what I get to know about the Bible, I want to pass that information along to other people. Because what am I going to gain just getting all that knowledge if I'm not communicating or telling others about Jesus? Because that's why. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. See, the writers of the New Testament always encourage people to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus. How do we grow in the knowledge of Jesus? Spending time in the Word of God. How do we know God? How do we know what God thinks of you? The Word. What do we know? How do we know what God thinks of the world? How do we know how things are going to end? The Word. How do we know that we're living in the end times? Who told you that? Oh, because a prophet on social media said it? No. Because we've been living on the end times for 2,000 years now. You know, don't be intimidated when people say, oh, it's got to be the end times. Because, you know, then pandemics have been happening already and they will continue. And wars and tribulation, all those things being told by Jesus. So, but he says, any moment, in a blink of an eye, he might appear. So we are already on the end times because the Bible says, but you notice too that you don't have to panic because at the end, who wins? We do. How do I know that? It's all right here. You got to just read that book and it's like, wow, you know what I mean? Yes, at the end, it's not love who's going to win. God wins and his people. So everything that we need to know, like, you know, that's what David says, you know, I don't want to depart from the word. It's like a lamp to my feet, you know, so that I can know, I can guide myself so that I can know where to go. So teaching them, we need to, as followers, as disciples, we need to learn the word of God and then teach it. Whatever we learn, teach it to other people. You know, I remember, I can play a little guitar today. I remember I was taught accordion. I can play accordion. I haven't played it like for 10 years, so I don't know if I can play it today. But I remember growing up, my dad told this guy to teach me. But I did not really want to learn, you know. And he would give me homework. And I was like, oh, man, I don't, you know. And then, I don't know, by the grace of God, I learned how to play the instrument. But I always wanted to play for myself. I didn't want people to hear me play, you know. And then, you know, at one time, I became the only musician in the church. Because, they didn't have anybody else. Then my brother wanted to learn. I taught him how to play the accordion. And my brother took it to another level. He played the keyboard. I mean, he's been recording songs. I mean, I gave him the foundation and he just ran with it. And then I learned, you know, in 2003, I began to learn guitar a little bit. And now I can play it. But it's interesting, you know, I got some knowledge. I gave it to my brother. And then he trained somebody else. By the time he left that church, there was always musicians in the church because it was the disciples who make disciples. Imagine, I left the church, but my brother, I told my brother. So I passed my knowledge along with him, and then he talked to other people before he left, and that church always had musicians that either can play the keyboards or the accordions. Or, you know, now they have piano players and guitar. You know, but the same thing is true with the Word of God. Whatever knowledge you have about the Word, because you're reading the Bible and studying it by yourself, and you're attending Bible study, pass that along to other people. Because guess what? This is what's going to happen. Remember, our mission is global. You're going to encounter people that do not believe the same thing you believe. And they're going to challenge your faith. Why do you go to church? Why do you believe that? Oh, that's folk tales. And if you don't know how, you're going to be like, Like, I don't have a response. Peter said to the church, always be ready to give an answer to anybody who asks you. But how am I going to be ready to give an answer when now I'm challenging? I don't know. Let's look it up. Let's look it up. I got into a debate with somebody on Facebook now because, you know, I know this guy for a long time. He said that Jesus resurrected on Sabbath, not on a Sunday. It's like, and so it's like, where did you get that? You know, but again, you get into this discussion. Let's research that together. Gain the knowledge so that you can also pass that along to other people. That's what Paul says. For I receive from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. Whatever I learn from God, I want you also to learn it. My friends, you and I have been authorized, you and I have been empowered to baptize and teach the gospel to other people. To make disciples is the mission of the church. To make disciples is your mission, is my mission. It's the mission of every Christian. Because we have been empowered by Christ Himself to accomplish this global mission that starts right here where you are. Right there where you work, you are to be Christ's representative. You are to multiply yourself, to be a disciple. Where life takes you, you are Christ's missionaries. I love Paul's imagery in 2 Corinthians 5. He says, you are Christ's ambassadors. That makes the church an embassy. By the way, if you are an ambassador, when the church is together, you know, that makes the church an embassy, and we need to recruit people to come. So you're Christ's ambassadors, as if God is making his appeal to the world through you. And God's appeal is this: be reconciled to me. Empowered by Christ himself, by his authority, to make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. And I love the last phrase. Jesus said, and I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. You're not doing this by yourself. I'm not going to leave you alone just to do that, because otherwise we'll fail. I'm with you always. Remember the series that I was talking about, the presence of God? Jesus, God's promise, he's promising his presence to go with us, to accomplish this task, to accomplish this mission. It's, I'm with you always. How? Through the Spirit. My friends, we have learned in the past that the presence of God is what's going to make you and I successful in accomplishing and doing whatever it is that he has called us to do. It is his presence also going to be our most powerful weapon that we're going to use to go with us, because we're going to have trials and tribulations, and we're going to have people that will oppose you, like you see the Apostle Paul. When he went and preached, people did not like him. Like one time they stoned him, but he was continuing, still determined to fulfill Christ's mission. Isn't that amazing? The Lord of Lords, King of Kings, is saying to you and I'm with you always. My friends, always think about that when you're going through tough times. Maybe when you feel depressed, whatever it is that you're dealing with, think about he's saying to you, I'm with you always. Even when at times you might not feel that I'm right there, but I'm holding you. I'm right there with you. Because he promises to never leave you or forsake you. You see, to accomplish this mission, you and I might be clueless, but he said, I'm going to be with you always. So it makes sense, because one time Jesus told them, when you're talking to people and you don't know what you're going to say, at that moment I'm going to give you words to say. You know, and I'm going to give you the wisdom that you're going to need to navigate through life so that you can continue where you go, make disciples of all nations. The Lord of Lords, King of Kings, will go with you, will go with us. All authority belongs to Jesus, and he's calling you and me to make disciples of all people groups, all ethnicities or nationalities. He's calling you and I to multiply ourselves wherever we are. He's calling us to introduce Jesus to other people. This is our mission until he comes again. I always think about that movie, The Lord of the Rings. You remember Frodo had a mission to take that ring to the mountain of Mordor so that the ring will be dissolved, destroyed. And, you know, he got some companions and they're going there. But at one time, you know, the going got tough. And he did not know, Frodo is struggling. He did not know if he can proceed, if he can continue, because, you know, it's just, he's in a cave. There's a huge spider in a cave. I don't know if you remember the scene. It's like, at one time, you know what I mean? Like, he just, like, he falls flat on his face, and he's just struggling because I got to take the ring if we want to save our lives, but this is hard. And at that moment, one of the elves lady appears to Frodo. And, you know, you remember what she said to Frodo? Says, this task has been appointed to you, Frodo of the Shires. And if you do not find a way, no one will. Church, making disciples has been appointed to you, Church of Staten Island. And if you do not find a way, no one will. This is our mission, and it ain't changing. So, finally, how are you influencing others with the gospel of Jesus? This is our task that he has given to us. Would you pray with me this morning?